So we're going to continue our Bible study, amen. We're going to go right to John chapter 18. Amen. Because we're coming to the end. Amen. John has a couple more chapters, and then we will be done. It has 21 chapters, I believe. And then we'll be at the end. But we're going to come to John chapter 18 tonight. And this is when Jesus gets arrested. And, you know, we these accounts in all the Gospels. Mm-hmm. And they're different.
Yeah.
But not contradictory. They're supplementary to one another. Mm-hmm. Amen. They supplement each other. And so we'll look at John's Gospel tonight regarding the arrest and or the betrayal and the arrest and then the trial of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray tonight. Father, we bless you. Oh God, we thank you for your faithfulness in returning us and gathering us together one more time, God. You didn't have to do it, but you did, and we are so grateful and thankful for your goodness towards us. And God, as we gather here tonight, Father, we're praying for those who are here, who cannot be here, oh God. We pray that you are watching over them, and your presence is continuing to bless them and to guide them. And God, we ask that you do the same for us through your word tonight. Father, just guide us through the word by your Holy Spirit, that we may be strengthened and edified, that, Father, we may be better equipped to live a life that is to the praise of your glory. And we just thank you, God, for your word, the lamp unto our feet, the light unto our path. And we give you praise for sharing it with us tonight. In Jesus' name. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's look at the betrayal and arrest of Jesus. And we're going to talk about a couple of things. We're not going to, you know, try to dissect every word of every scripture, right? But there are some things that I think over the years has spoken to my spirit, and I believe has spoken to yours as well. Amen. Let's start at verse 1 and read down a little bit. Jesus had just come off of praying, if you remember, from John 17, right? We went through the Lord's Prayer in that regard last week when Jesus prayed for himself, he prayed for his disciples, and then he prayed for others who would believe. And so now it comes in verse 1 of John 18 when Jesus has spoken these words, right, after he had finished with this prayer. He went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden into which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. But Jesus oft-times resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons, right? Because it's at night. And they're coming out, you know, torches, weapons, lanterns, amen. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? Interesting, right? I mean, Jesus, you know, he knows what's going on. But he goes to meet them. That's why it's interesting sometimes I hear Christians say, you know, I don't believe in confrontation. Well, Jesus was a confrontational God. I mean, he is. I mean, he confronts. Mm-hmm. Confrontation doesn't mean you need to be nasty. Mm-hmm. It just means you take that on.
Yeah.
You don't have to be, you know, cursing or spitting or, you know, belligerent to confront.
Yeah.
A confrontation could be as simply as, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
Instead of letting somebody wander around the whole place, you go over to the person and go, can I help you? What are you doing here?
Yeah.
You don't have to curse him out or grab him by a collar or anything like that in order to confront. But Jesus confronted the Pharisees plenty of times. Mm-hmm. And certainly when it comes to things that are inconsistent with God, it needs to be confronted. Now, but again, sometimes when we confront, we think we have to be angry and belligerent, and then we get over into judgment. Mm-hmm. You know, you're wrong, and all that kind of stuff. But God knows how to confront, and if we allow him to just use us, we can confront things without being as, you know, necessarily belligerent and hostile and all those negative things. So Jesus confronted them, amen. He comes forward and he says, whom seek you? Who are you looking for? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Now, it's interesting though, right? Because in the other gospel, they say that when Judas came upon him, what did he do?
He gave Jesus.
Yeah, as a sign to those he was with, this is the one.
Yeah.
Right? Now somebody would say, well, where is that? And why would he have to go, who are you looking for? You know what I mean? We don't know when this happened. Maybe he said it before Judas came over and kissed him. Mm-hmm. And John just now recording that part of it.
Yeah.
You know? Because he's recording something else that the other gospels don't have. Because when they said, we're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, he said, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And as soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. That's always just amazing.
Yeah.
Right? It doesn't say Jesus screamed or he hollered or he did, you know, he didn't raise his hand. He just said, I am he. And they went backward and fell on the ground.
Yeah.
That's just the power of God.
Exactly.
Right? That's just the power of God and the power of his word.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that something? That the power of his word, and, you know, God created all the heavens and earth by speaking.
Mm-hmm.
So we shouldn't be surprised that he can knock down a group of men.
Yeah.
So it's really not that amazing when you think of it from that standpoint.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
God said, let there be light, and then, you know, there's light to light the whole universe.
Yeah.
You know? So God's word has power.
Yeah.
And especially, you know, when it's spoken out of a believing heart, Jesus goes, I am he, and they go falling back. That's why we have to trust the word of God. The word of God has power.
Yeah.
He has said that we can boldly say it. So when we say what God says, we're speaking words of power.
Mm-hmm.
And we really have to know that. We're not just saying stuff.
Yeah.
When we say, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed, those are words of power.
Mm-hmm.
They're not just words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when we actually say them, with that appreciation, I just said something powerful. We then will look for stuff to start falling down.
Mm-hmm.
Sickness falling down,
yeah.
Death falling down. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because we just spoke something of power, and it's not even a whole lot. I am he. No lot of words, no long speech. Right?
Yeah.
That's why I tell you. I praise God for, you know, prayerful people and those who, you know, lead the congregation in prayer and things like that. But I gotta tell you, long prayers are not necessary in order to be effective.
Mm-hmm, sure.
You don't need a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's because it's not in the number of your words.
Yeah.
It's in the choice of your words.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know? You know, we think about how those prophets of Baal, those false prophets of Baal, spent all day trying to make fire come down and consume the altar. And Elijah came and just spoke 63 words, and the fire came down. You didn't have to speak for a long time. They went on for hours and hours and hours. But when you're speaking to the right God, you don't need... What happened with Peter when he fell into the water, you know, after he was walking on water?
Mm-hmm.
Save me.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a whole lot. What did God do? Reach down and save them.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
How are we saved? You know, you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and God raised him from the dead. If you believe that, you shall be saved. Confess with him, I believe in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And God go on and on for hours. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And somewhere in the church, we've gotten along this thing that, well, I got to pray not only long, but loud.
Yeah. And hard.
Yeah. Sweating.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying sometimes you can, you know what I mean, you can be arrested by the Spirit and get into that. So I'm not trying to discourage anybody from that. I'm just saying that's not necessary. And especially for people who are young in the church, they can look and see, well, the only way my prayers be effective, I got to pray like that. No, you don't.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes you can pray a silent prayer. It can be as powerful, if not more powerful, than a prayer that's spoken at high volume.
Yeah.
And Jesus just said, I am he. What? Power.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because there's power in him. There's power in his name.
Yeah.
And so they all fell to the ground. So I guess when they recovered, they got back up. And he asked them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. He says, Jesus answered, verse 8, I have told you that I am he. And that I am, obviously, is a statement of deity, right? Because it's reminiscent of God saying, I am that I am, when he was speaking with Moses at the burning bush. Amen. I have told you I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake. Of them which thou gavest me, I have lost none. So Jesus said, look, if you're looking for me, let everybody else go. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink it? So Peter, even though walking with Jesus, still has that worldly, Peter, he's still packing the knife. he's still quick to cut. You can walk with Jesus and still have your earthly tendencies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. That's why we got to rely on His grace all the time. Because it doesn't matter how long you've been walking with Jesus, you may be still quick to cut somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And He was quick to cut,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, think about it. A whole bunch of soldiers there. He's going to cut off one soldier's ear. But, you know, when you just want to, when you're operating out of the flesh, right, you just want to strike at people.
Yeah.
And you want to hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Peter wanted to do. Now, he might have had Jesus' interest at heart, but he still went about it the wrong way.
Yeah, sure.
What's not here, what we see in the Gospel of Luke, though, is that we're told that Jesus healed the servant's
mm-hmm.
ear.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
He healed the ear. But, you know, he had to chastise Peter, son, put up thy sword. Right? It's reminiscent of how he told the sons of thunder when they wanted to call down fire on the people of Samaria because they didn't let them pass through. He said, you want us to call down fire like Elijah did? And Jesus said, you know not man or spirit you are of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're not calling down fire on people. That's an interesting thing because this is why I think it's important we have to appreciate Old Testament and New Testament, but also understand the context.
Yeah.
Because somebody can say, well, why would Jesus tell them, you know that man of spirit you are? But Elijah was a man of God, and he prayed down fire. Yeah, but God told him to pray down.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
God told him to pray. But also, too, when people are wrong, and people were committing sin in the Old Testament, I mean, that was they were under judgment.
Mm-hmm.
But that was under the law.
Yeah.
But when we get to the New Testament, we're under grace.
Yeah.
It's a different dispensation.
Yeah. Right.
So what worked when you were under the law? We can't now, when we're under grace, say, well, Elijah did it, so I should be able to do it now. Right? It's a different dispensation. It's a different, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially now, and also, too, sometimes we have to realize, too, there's a difference between what takes place even in the New Testament, before Jesus goes to the cross and after.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because now after, everything's done.
Mm-hmm.
Before the cross, right, he still had to go and pay the price for sin.
Yeah.
After he goes to the cross, the price is paid.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at Isaiah, when it says in 53, by his stripes you are healed, he was looking forward to the cross and calling it done based on God's word.
Mm-hmm.
But it hadn't come yet.
Yeah.
But he's calling it done.
Mm-hmm.
You are healed. But when you look at Peter, he says, and by his stripes, you were healed.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because he's looking back.
Yeah.
Where were you healed? At the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you healed? Isaiah was looking to the cross. They're both looking, but they're looking from different directions.
Yeah.
One's looking, before it happened to those, it's already a done deal, so you are.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't worry, I already have your back. I haven't done what I said I'm going to do for you, but I'm letting you know it's already done.
Yeah.
That's what Isaiah was doing, but he was pointing to the cross.
Yeah.
Peter now, looking back towards the cross, knowing it's already been completed because Jesus died for the world, said, you were. Right? It's already been accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So we have to realize this. We have to be mindful of the context in which the things are being said. It's Old Testament or New Testament, and even the New Testament, is it before Jesus went to the cross or after Jesus went to the cross?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cutting people's ears off. Praying down fire. No, that Jesus said, that's not how we roll, right?
Exactly.
Amen. Amen. We gotta be We're in a different time now. We're disciples of Christ. We're not cutting off people's ears. We're not being mean to people, right? Right, but we're under grace, right?
Yeah.
We're under grace, and we need to be gracious, the same way the Lord has been gracious unto us.
Yeah.
Let's look at verse 12. Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him. So they took him, and they, you know, whether it's tied him up with rope or some other things, they bound him, right? And they led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That is John, that disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus unto the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then said the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort. And in secret I said nothing. Why ask thou me? Ask them which heard me what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil, but if well, why smitest thou me? Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest, and Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then again denied, and immediately the cock crew. Alright, so let's deal with Peter first, right? Remember Peter? What boast did he make when Jesus told him?
I'll never deny you.
Yeah. He said, I'm ready to die with you. Right? I'm ready to die with you. You know, I'll go anywhere with you. Really, Peter? He said, I'll tell you what, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. And I believe it's in Luke where it says that when the cock crew, Jesus looked at him. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. I can only imagine what that look was like.
Yeah.
It was a look of knowing, a look of sadness, maybe a look of a little bit of disappointment. You know what I mean? Like, can you imagine, you know, Jesus now, after you deny him the third time, he just looks at you, doesn't say anything, just looks at you with that knowing that only God can have.
Yeah.
It has to pierce you to, you know, to your soul. Because you know, oh man, did I mess up. Especially for Peter, who was so, you know, adamant. I'll go anywhere for you. Really, would you, Peter? You know? And you're going to deny me. But we deny Jesus sometimes. You know? You know, when we don't do what he wants us to do, we're denying him. When we act out in ways that are inconsistent with who he is, we're denying. You know, I even think sometimes, you know, when, you know, we were talking about being up at the barbecue and just standing out in the circle and praying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but there's some Christians, if they go to a restaurant, they don't want to pray in public.
Mm-hmm.
I'll pray at home over my food, but not in public, because I don't want to draw attention. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
You don't want people to know that, you know what I mean? That, what? That you love the Lord. You know what I mean? And it's like an embarrassment. Oh, I don't want, you know. Well, that's a form of denial, you know, because you're not being true to who you are.
Exactly.
And you know better.
Yeah.
Right? And all things give thanks, especially if I can eat some food. I mean, I'm going to thank God and bless the table and the food that you're about to receive. You would do it at home.
Yeah.
Remember when Paul took Peter on? He said, I took Peter on to his face because he would sit with the Gentiles when the other Jewish apostles weren't around, but then when they came, he wouldn't eat with them. Mm-hmm. And he said, no, he said, I took Peter onto his face.
Uh-huh.
Right? That's confronting.
Yeah.
Right? But what is he saying to Peter? You're being inconsistent. You know what I mean? You're being inconsistent. And sometimes when we're inconsistent, we're denying.
Yeah.
You know? So maybe we'll never be in a situation like Peter. You know what I mean? Where they're saying, aren't you one of his disciples? Because, right, Jesus only goes to the cross once. But we're in a situation where every day, as we live and breathe and walk and interact with people, our life is a testimony.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's either testifying of Jesus or it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. And when we don't, we're denying that we belong to him. I think that's why when we look at this, when we look at the disciples, when we look at the children of Israel in the Old Testament, we should never feel spiritually superior.
Exactly.
Because this is us.
Yes, it is.
This is us. And that's why the Bible is so good for us, because it allows us to see us through other people. But then if you read it with the honesty and humility, you go, yeah, well, you know, sometimes I am. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if you read it, you're like, look at that. Then somehow you're missing the point. Because you should see you.
Yeah.
Right? Peter with his impetuous nature. Sometimes we're impetuous too.
Mm-hmm.
Jumping in. Saying stuff without thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we're the same way.
Yeah.
Doubting Thomas. Sometimes we doubt too.
Mm-hmm.
Unless I can get this money by Friday. Right?
Yeah.
Maybe you're not looking for the nails in his hands and all that because you can't, but you're looking for some other move of God before you will believe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So when we look at these things, we should always know that the disciples, they're us. Children of Israel, they're us.
Mm-hmm.
Even people like Saul and even some of the, you know, you can look at it and go, oh, okay. And at least examine yourself to see, do I do that?
Yeah.
Ask God, God, do I act like that? Do I do that? You know what I mean? You may find we do some of the same things, just in a different fashion or form.
Yeah.
That's all. Now look how they treated Jesus, right? They bring him and they put him on trial. And it's at night, right? Because they want to hurry up. They want to hurry up and get this trial done and get him convicted so that they can get an order of execution from the Roman government. Because they can't execute anybody.
Yeah.
Right? They can bring people up on religious charges, but they can't bring anybody up for, you know, and punish them for a capital offense. So they're trying to, and the other gospel talk about how they got false witnesses
mm-hmm.
to testify against Jesus, and they couldn't even get their story straight. Right? There was no one story two people couldn't even tell the same story about Jesus. But they're trying, right? They're trying really hard. Now watch this. They're going to bring them to Pontius Pilate after they take him from Caiaphas. Let's look at verse 28. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. So now it's early in the morning. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. So watch this. They don't want to go into this judgment hall, right, of the governor's palace, because it was a place that would render them ceremonially unclean. They didn't want to be defiled because the Passover was nigh, and they wanted to eat the Passover. Isn't that something? Here they are, lying and plotting murder on an innocent man, but they're more concerned about not going into a place that's going to make them ceremonially unclean. The fact that their hearts are needed cleansing. That's why Jesus said you are hypocrites, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You're more concerned with the outside of the cup than the inside of the cup.
Yeah.
And that's how we know we gotta understand. It's not about our outside and our exterior and all that. It's really what's on the inside. Mm-hmm. Create me a clean heart and renew a right spirit what? Within me.
Mm-hmm.
Not outside me.
Yeah.
We don't need to be clean outside. Right? That's for you when you take your shower and put on your cologne and all that stuff. But we need to be clean inside.
Sure.
Right? That's where it matters. And this is not the first time the Pharisees did this, right? when they got upset when Jesus healing someone on the Sabbath, and they say he's working on the Sabbath, but yet that same Sabbath they get together and plot to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get together and work out a plan of murder on Sabbath, and that's okay. But he healed somebody on Sabbath, and that's it's so hypocritical. And here they are once again showing their hypocrisy, that they're concerned with how they are viewed instead of how they are. You know, I'm sure you've heard the saying before about, you know, your reputation is what other people think of you, but your character is who you truly are.
Mm-hmm.
And we should be more concerned about our character than our reputation.
Yeah.
Because that's what people think of you. That's what you've shown the world, and people have come to a conclusion. Oh, he has a good reputation. But there are some people, I believe, who have a good reputation, but a not so good character.
Mm-hmm.
And vice versa. There's some people whose reputation is not so good, but they have a sterling character.
Yeah.
Because the reputation is just what people think of them.
Mm-hmm.
And what people think could be wrong. And here, they're just concerned with what's going on the outside. They are hypocrites. And Jesus really doesn't have any nice words for hypocrites.
Mm-hmm.
He wants us to be true.
Yeah.
Right? So let us not be concerned with the outside. We've got to be concerned with what's going on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the work of God needs to take place. Right? You can't change your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. You ever tried that? I'm going to change.
Oh,
that works for about, if you're lucky, it works a couple of days.
Yeah.
If you're lucky. But only God can change us. We have to have a willingness to change and then a submissiveness to allow God to change us.
Yeah.
The willingness and the submissiveness allow God to do the work. Because he's going to tell you to do certain things, and as we submit to his leading, submit to his authority, the transformation will take place.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not going to be through us. So here they are, worrying about being ceremonially defiled. So Pilate goes out unto them, verse 29, and says, what accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, if he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. That's not even answering the question. He asked what accusation he had. They said, if he didn't do anything wrong, we wouldn't have brought him here. How is that an answer to the question? Not an answer. Then said Paul unto them, take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it of thee? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priest have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end I was born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And then Pilate says unto him, what is truth? All right, so Pilate is questioning him, and we know from other gospels that Pilate concludes, right, there's nothing wrong with him. I find nothing wrong with this man. We also know that his wife says, have nothing to do with that man, because I have been troubled in my dreams because of him.
Yeah.
So God has sent signs, even to people who weren't believers. That's why you got to be like, God speaks. God is speaking to the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
Some people listen, some people don't. That's why even if people are not saved, God uses unsaved people to speak.
Mm-hmm.
To you,
yeah.
To me,
yeah.
And to others of his people, right?
Mm-hmm.
If God can use a donkey, you don't tell me he can't use an unsaved person
exactly.
To speak through.
Uh-huh.
And so Pilate is new. He said, there's nothing wrong with this man. His wife, not a disciple. God spoke to her in a dream. Troubled her spirit, troubled her soul. And she comes to say, I don't think you should have anything to do with this. And Pilate knew, he sensed, But he didn't trust what was going on in his heart.
Mm-hmm.
He knew. It reminds me of how Isaac knew that he was being tricked. Remember when he wanted Esau to go make him some venison?
Mm-hmm.
And Esau went hunting?
Yeah.
And then, you know, Rebekah heard, and, you know, since Jacob was her favorite, she made the meal, that she just went and got a fat lamb and made the meal and brought in the savory meat, as they called it. And, you know, Jacob, you know, put on, you know, some hairy, you know, lamb skin and all this other stuff. And Isaac knew something was wrong.
Yeah.
You know? He's like, you know, because he couldn't really see. But he could smell, you know, the outside. You know, somebody says to somebody, you smell like outside. You know what I mean? they could smell the outside because he had the animal skin on. He's like, you smell like Esau, but your voice is of Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
But he knew.
Yeah.
And then he told him, come forward. And he's like, you know, he touched his hand. Yeah, you can't be like him, but, you know. Then he said, come closer. You know, and hey, okay. Yeah. But he had a sense, nah, something's wrong. But he didn't trust it.
Yeah.
You ever have that happen?
Mm-hmm.
Where you know something's not right, but you don't trust it, and then you regret that you didn't follow that prompting that you had?
Mm-hmm.
I knew I shouldn't have come here. I knew I shouldn't have let him, you know, borrow my hand tool. I knew I shouldn't have, right? And you knew it at the time,
yeah.
But you went past it anyway, because you didn't trust it.
That's
God speaking to us, you know. It's that unsettledness in our spirit. The peace is the ultimate umpire in our heart. That's how God made it to be. When you got that settledness in your spirit, you're good.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because you can have a settledness in your spirit even on something that you don't know how it's going to turn out. But you're at peace with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm at peace. I'm quitting my job. I don't know what I'm going to do from here on, but God is telling me it's time for me to move on. You can do that with a sense of peace.
Yeah.
Even though somebody said, what are you going to do for that? I don't know. I don't know. Well, you better not quit until you get
your peace.
Don't be silly now. Don't try. But you can't conjure up that.
That's right.
You can't manufacture God's peace. You know, you can try to act like you're at peace with it, but you can't manufacture that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have it, that's why they call it the peace that passes all understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes in a situation it doesn't make sense, and even other people don't understand. Why aren't you anxious? Why aren't you nervous? Why aren't you upset? And it passes understanding.
Yeah.
It's beyond understanding.
Mm-hmm.
It's a peace that only comes from God. But when God speaks to us, we should listen. And many times He's speaking to us in that unsettledness. Sometimes people call it a check in their spirit. I got a check in my spirit. I was about to do something, but I'm not going. People were saved from 9/11 because they got a check in their spirit.
Yeah.
Something told me I'm staying home. I'm not getting on that plane today. I'm not going. I'm not taking this route to work today. And next thing you know, they find out that something happened on that route at the same time that they would have been there, that would have put them in harm's way.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Pay attention to those little checks in your spirit. Don't be paranoid now, but if God arrests your attention like that, take a moment. Lord, is that you?
Yeah.
Before you just plow ahead and go, man, what am I worried about? You may not be worried about anything. That could be the Holy Spirit trying to give you a stop sign.
Yeah.
So like a third base, I don't know if you watch baseball, but you know, a third base coach, when he's telling the guy to come around third base, he does this.
Yeah.
That's going to keep running.
Uh-huh.
Right? But when he doesn't want him to run, he'll go down the line and put up his hands.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes that runner goes right through the stop sign.
Uh-huh.
And most times, he gets thrown out at the plate.
Uh-huh.
As they would say in the DirecTV commercial, don't get thrown out at the plate. Listen to the Holy Spirit. When you run through his stop sign, you get thrown out at the plate. Don't get thrown out at the plate. Amen. Pilate had some checks, but he didn't know God.
Yeah.
And so he's looking for the convenient way out. He wants to go to them, and he wants to say, I see nothing wrong. Why don't you let him go? Try him under your own law. He didn't want to take responsibility for himself. But he says to Jesus, and Jesus says to him, Thou sayest I am the king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate said unto him, What is truth? Jesus said in John 17:17, we saw it last week, Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. So if Pilate were to say that to us today, What is truth? We would say what? The word of God is truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And when he said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto him, I find no in him no fault at all. But we have a custom, that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Now this is interesting, because we're told in the other Gospels that Barabbas was a robber. He was a murderer, because he led an insurrection against the Roman government. And what's interesting about this is that the Pharisees are bringing Jesus to Pilate and accusing him of trying to, as being a threat to the government.
Yeah.
Because he's calling himself a king, and he's a threat to the Roman government. But they actually, now when they have a choice, want somebody to be released who actually was a threat to the Roman government. And was had insurrection and was guilty of murder, and they want him released unto them instead of Jesus. Just show them the problem. Listen, when people are against you, they're against you, and what they don't care if it makes any sense. They don't care if they're inconsistent. It doesn't matter. That's why you can't reason sometimes with people. The Bible even tells you, don't try to reason with a fool, because there's no reason to what they're doing. When reason means rational explanation for what they're doing. They're just being expedient. I want to get you in trouble, so I'm just going to say some stuff. That's it. I want you in trouble, I'm just going to say some stuff. I don't care. I'm going to make a call, I'm going to report you to the supervisor, I just want to tell on you. That's it. I don't care about anything else. I'm just telling on you. Right? So here they come. He's an insurrectionist. You need to crucify him. Well, I find nothing to fault for him. Who do you want? You want Jesus or you want Barabbas? Give up the insurrectionist. But I thought you didn't like insurrectionists. I thought you turned insurrectionists in. Why do you want the insurrectionist? Why should it make sense? I want to close on this, because I find the Bible, to me, the Bible's wonderful. And the Bible speaks, when you read and you read the stories and you read chapters, you read verses, I mean, it's just wonderful. And there's so much in the Bible that, you can read and you go, look how God communicates. But I want to share something with you with this. It says, they cried out again saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now, Barabbas was a robber. So they don't want Jesus, they want Barabbas. You remember when Peter, when Jesus said, Who do men say that I am? He said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of God.
Yeah.
And Jesus said unto him in Matthew 16, he said, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood didn't tell you this. But he said, Simon Bar-Jonah. And Bar means son of. So he called him son Simon, his father is Jonah or John, son of John, Simon, son of John. And many times in the Bible, that's how they always describe somebody.
Yeah.
James, son of Daniel. Les, son of Michael. Yeah. You know what I mean? You were the son of somebody. That's how they always, right?
Yeah.
Son of. And so Bar is son of. Simon Bar Jonah. Simon, son of Jonah, or son of Jonah. Now watch this. Show how God communicates. This man's name is Barabbas. Bar is son of.
Yeah.
Look what the rest is Abbas, or Abba in Aramaic. Remember how Paul said that we're now, you know, because we're saved, we can call God Abba, Father. And Abba is Aramaic for like daddy. Right? So now watch how God communicates. Barabbas is son of daddy. Right? Son of daddy. Who's daddy? I don't know. Just son of daddy. It could be any daddy. Right? It could be any daddy. He just, that's his name. His name is son of daddy. it's not like Bar Jonah. At least you know who the father's name is.
Yeah.
This father is unnamed. Son of daddy. But watch this. Who's the daddy? What? The daddy could be anybody. And if the daddy's anybody, that means this kid is anybody's son. You understand me? He's anybody's son. And look what God is saying. That the Jews would rather have anybody's son and give him Jesus, right? So watch the exchange. That Jesus was given an exchange for anybody's son. Isn't that something? Jesus has been given an exchange for anybody's son.
Yeah.
When you look at God, you say, this is not coincidental.
Yeah.
God is sending a message. My son went to the cross for anybody's son. He was given an exchange for anybody's son. Rich man, poor man, beggar man, thief. Your child can come and say, I believe, and will get saved.
Yeah.
Because my son was given an exchange for anybody's son.
Wow.
It's an amazing thing how God is.
Yeah.
I mean, you think he's telling you something. His name was Barak. But now he's telling you twice. And whenever you see something happen twice close in the Bible, pay close attention.
Mm-hmm.
Look at this verse again. Then they cried all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now, Barabbas was a robber. You see how quickly they tell us again his name?
Yeah.
It's God's way of almost telling you, pay attention.
Uh-huh.
I'm telling you something here. I'm using his name twice, close together. Pay attention.
Yeah.
God's amazing.
Wow.
He's amazing.
Yes, he is.
So if you look at this and you realize, the son of daddy, that means he's anybody's son. Because who's daddy? I don't know. Daddy could be anybody. So he's the son of anybody. He's anybody's son. He's wonderful. But when you look at it, you go, you mean to tell me Jesus was exchanged for anybody's son?
That's right.
Isn't that the gospel?
Yes, it is.
That Jesus was exchanged for anybody's son? That's why I love reading the gospel. That's why I love reading the Bible. Because God will take you and say, man, let me show you this way. let me show you what I snuck in. You know what I mean? And it's those little nuggets that make you realize how wonderful this God is. And we only are scratching the surface. You know what I mean? When we get to heaven and we know like we're known, we're going to go, that's why that happened? That's what you were, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The revelations are going to hit us. We're going to be like, oh! We're going to be like that camera. Guess what God told me? Guess what God told me? Praise the Lord. I just love the Lord. I just love His Word. It's just it's amazing. And when I got to the end of this, and I'm looking at this Barabbas, and I'm thinking, and I thought, just reading, you know what I mean? Because you got to read. Barabbas. And I said, look at this God. Amen. But isn't that a good thing, though? That Jesus has been exchanged for anybody's son. So that includes me, that includes you.
Yeah.
Right? You didn't have to be a royalty. You didn't have to live on the right side of the tracks. Nothing. He died for the whole world.
Yeah.
Amen. for anybody's son.
Yeah.
He exchanged his life for anybody's son. Here's the thing, and this is how the devil don't know. See, the Jews didn't know that that's what they were doing.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And even God uses their ill motives for good.
Yeah.
So even when people are doing some ill stuff against you, understand, God can turn it around for good.
Yeah, he can.
Trust him to do it, amen?
Yeah.
And he will do it, because he can do things like this that affect the whole world. Certainly he can turn around the stuff that's going on in our lives.
That's right.
Amen. Let's pray tonight. Father, we bless you tonight. You are a wonder in our soul. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your grace, your mercy. We thank you, Father, for your word and how you continue to show us and enlighten us by your Spirit. Father, we're praying that we will take from your word tonight those things that you've spoken into our hearts and into our mind, that we would walk them out, live them out, O God, in our families and everywhere we go, O God. Father, continue to speak, continue to teach us, continue to edify us, O God. We need you and we need your word. And so, Father, we bless you tonight for taking the time to share with us the precious word of God and for increasing our faith in the name of Jesus. Father, we are praying for safe passage as we make our way home. God, I ask that you guide my wife and Brandy and Kristen safely over the roadways as well. Look over our families, oh God, over Joe and his family, over Gwen and over Sister Christine, oh God. Father, just continue to let your blessing rest on our household. And Father, use us for your glory, God. We are at your disposal. Here we are, Lord, send us. Father God, we desire to be used of you, that you may be glorified, that people's lives may be touched and transformed for the better. Bless this house, O God, and Father, continue to bless us and the fellowship here, and even add to our number such as should be saved. And Father, we just bless you and praise you for it all now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks for listening. This has been a teaching of the On Good Ground Christian Fellowship, where Minister Jeff Fennell is pastor. We pray that you have been encouraged by the word. Feel free to share this CD with someone, as faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. For more information on our ministry, visit the web at www.ongoodground.org. May the Lord God bless you real good as you continue your walk with Him.